Hello and welcome to Aquarium Dilemmas. I'm your host, Science Gal Aquatics. I'm Carrie, and this is my co-host,
Jesse, and welcome.
Yes, hello, hello. Thank you for listening and tuning in. I feel like today's going to be an exciting conversation like every week.
Well, I think this is a really, really good one, and we've already had a heated battle about it before.
I don't know if you'd go that far, but it's something that I just assumed I knew. But I didn't really put too much thought in it. And it's not a very hard topic. I don't feel like this is something that's something you have to study. But I do feel like it's something that I needed to put thought into.
Well, I also think it's misleading because from either going to your local fish store or the big box stores, either they have signs on the tanks of what the fish are and that kind of stuff. And they always just say, like, easy, moderate, whatever. They don't. So you just assume things.
Yeah, but getting down to it, I guess the difference, how they tie together, the temperament of your fish, whether it's peaceful, semi-aggressive, or aggressive, versus just, you know,
easy, moderate, hard.
And there's a point. Like I said, I didn't really give it that much thought, but I just kind of assumed that peaceful meant easy. Semi-aggressive range meant, kind of intermediate, and aggressive always meant super difficult. And you can have some easier fish that can be aggressive, and you can definitely have some peaceful fish that needs a little bit more tuned in care that doesn't tolerate as much. So I feel like it's not every peaceful fish is easy. And not every semi-aggressive fish means that it's for intermediate fish keepers. I feel like the definition is something worth knowing, even though, like I said, it's not complicated. It's not something that's out of all the topics in fish keeping and aquariums and things like that, it's not the most difficult, but it is something that it's worth looking into, especially if you are beginning and this is your first tank or you're setting up a bigger fish room. It's something that, you know, it's take a day or two to be like, okay, that makes sense.
Well, I think the big deal is there is a big, and you alluded to it, and I'd like you to expand on it a little more, is there's a big difference between temperament and care level. That is, care level, in my mind, is the easy, moderate, advanced. Temperament is the peaceful, semi-aggressive,
personality
aggressive, but with the caveat there's some reasons those three categories are the way they are, and we'll go into them in a little bit.
Yeah, and there's always that one exception to the rule. If you follow the channel on YouTube or you know me at all, you know guppies, that's the one fish that I've kept the longest. And even though by definition I do think that a guppy is a very peaceful fish, even with guppies, you can have that one every so often that's like, really? So there's always, you know, that one fish that you're like, really? But I think that these are good for my understanding, how I can explain it the best I can. I do feel like guppies are generally a peaceful fish, and we can start there. We can go with, you want to start? Well, let's go back. Let's start with just beginner, intermediate, difficult. Start there. What would you say a beginner or just easy, I guess a better word is just an easy fish? What's a definition of what you would say an easier type fish would be?
Well, knowing what I know now, would be a fish that I can keep in a wide variety of parameters, like bigger, a larger range of temperature from, I'll throw a big number out. I'll go say just 60 to 70 degrees or 60 to 80 degrees
Fahrenheit.
Yes, in Fahrenheit, not Celsius. Yeah, 60 to 80 degrees. So temperature swings aren't going to bother them.
Well,
and they'll eat anything. That's another one. So you don't have to have a very specific diet. You can have a broad diet. Mm-hmm. That would be another one. Mm-hmm. And then kind of going a little further into it would be like also their pH. Like, can they handle the pH going up, way up or something? So a lot wider water parameters, that would, in my mind, make a fish easy to keep because you wouldn't have to be as closely monitoring your fish tank.
Yeah, I think that's a good way of putting it. I do have to say I agree with you, but the only thing I would have to add to it is an easy fish to me is, like you said, it can handle a wide range of parameters. But given that, you don't want to have fluctuations in your tank. I take that as if you don't have a heater in your tank, you want a tank that's room temperature, then it's a fish that can handle room temperature. It's a fish like guppies that can handle 68 degree cold water tank, or it can handle a heated tropical community tank. You can for sure. I like to keep them in the upper 70s in heated tanks, but they can 100% handle room temperature colder water tanks. But given that, you do want to keep it consistent. And like you said, pH or feedings, you don't have to chase numbers. What you have, your parameters, your conditions that you have set up easy for you, that fish that you pick out that's definition of easy can handle going into the tank that you choose, that you have. So let's say, for me, let's use me as, I like to have a few different tanks, but for my guppy tanks, I like to have them in tropical tanks. I have hard water in my fish room. I do have a lot of different foods available, but that's what I keep because it's the easiest for me to maintain. I don't want to have a soft water tank because having a hard water tank is what I have. So it's a fish, by definition, to us, I think, is easy because it can handle going into that because that's what I have set up easily for me.
Yeah. So, and using that analogy, excuse me, if we had soft water, we would keep a totally different range of fish.
Yeah, there's fish, I think, and I don't have any experience with soft water fish because I don't have ever in my life have had soft water. So I know that going from soft water to harder water for guppies is a little bit easier of an acclimation process than going from hard water to soft water. But if you have soft water and you want to keep guppies, then I would find a source that's locally bred. So those guppies know that water, they've been bred in that water, and they do well. So you can bring them home. I just keep hard water fish because that's what I have. I don't have any experience. And I think the only thing I really know about is because they need a lot of minerals in the harder water, I keep them. And I've always kept them, but I know the acclimation process is definitely harder going from harder water to soft water if they've been raised in hard water, if that makes sense. But going back, that's just how I think about if I go to the fish store and I want an easy fish, I just look. And if they have signage or they have someone there that can ask, or you have a phone a friend or what, if especially I think it is the easiest if they have something, hey, this fish can handle this, I think it's
well, easy, and that's when Google's your best friend.
Yeah, but I still, even though I say it all the time, impulse buying, I wouldn't recommend it at all, but we're going to do it. You walk into the fish store and there's going to be usually at some point something that you're like, oh my gosh, I have to have that. That's amazing. But an easy fish to me by definition is something that can handle going into an aquarium that has, like you said, 60 degrees Fahrenheit to 80 degrees Fahrenheit. They might be able to handle a pH that's from 6.8 to 7.8, or they might be, they can have a diet of flakes, frozen, freeze dried. They can have it. They can have it. You don't have to be so zeroed in on that.
Yeah. You don't have to be so specific.
Yes.
No, I think that is probably the perfect definition of an easy to keep
for us. 'Cause we made it.
Well, no, that's no, for no. anyone. And then let's jump the middle one.
Uh-huh.
Let's jump the semi-aggressive for the
moment.
Well,
let's go to, we're at, like, we went from easy to, like, medium. We're not quite, we'll save the temperament for a second, but go from, like, easy. What's your definition of something that's in between an easy, easy fish? Something like, I say guppies because that's, I find them easy for me, but something that's not super difficult, that middle ground. What makes them harder to keep than a peaceful fish or an easy fish?
Ooh, I would have to go in my experience.
Or do you want me to tell you mine? And then since you went first last time, I guess.
Well, in my experience, I'm going to go with several varieties of, because we do have several varieties, of tetra.
Yeah, I would say that's a kind of a medium one. But I would say that what I was looking for was the definition. I think the difference between what makes something a moderate fish versus a peaceful fish is they do have a little bit more, they don't take as much wide range of parameters. So let's say in our last example, they could handle 60 degrees Fahrenheit to 80 degrees Fahrenheit. I think a middle range, that intermediate, it's not super easy, but it's not super hard either, is they still can take a good range, but it's just not so broad. So we're moving into where it's like they can go from 70 degrees Fahrenheit to 78 degrees Fahrenheit. They can have a lot of different foods, but it's more specific. So they require a vegetarian diet, or you need to have, like with plecos, some need driftwood. So it helps with their digestion, or like they require insect larvae. So you can feed them a lot. They take a lot, but it's a little bit more specific.
Yeah.
That kind of, you don't have to feed them five times a day, but you have to feed them
a specific diet.
It's not like with the guppies. I like to feed the guppies once a day. I do feed them twice a day sometimes, but I usually feed them once a day. And something that's a little bit more difficult, I would have to feed them frozen foods, like at least three times a week, to make sure that they're getting that protein that they're looking for. You don't have to be like down here necessarily with like, okay, I fed them at this time, and this time to make sure that they live, but they do need something a little bit more specific to their diet to make sure that they're good. Or they can handle, like I said, a big range of temperatures, but it's just a little bit more narrowed down. And that does that make sense to you? Like,
yes.
It's not super broad, but it's not super narrowed in either. Like, they can, I don't know how to explain it.
Well, they don't handle, I get where you're going with the, uh-huh, with this moderate level. Well, they don't handle temperature fluctuation near as well. Acclimation process is,
well, I don't want you to say that. No fish handles, I would say, temperature fluctuations well. I would always say keep it consistent. It's just they can be exposed to more temperatures and be okay. You can't put a fish, I guess I shouldn't say that, you shouldn't. In my experience, I don't recommend putting a fish in a fish tank or aquarium where it's going to be 68 at this time and down here at, or a different temperature at the end of the day, unless they're used to it, like outside. Our outside tub fish experience that. But in the conditions of our tanks, it's just they can handle, like the guppies, they can handle like that 68 or 60 degrees Fahrenheit to 80 degrees Fahrenheit, whereas something like, I'm just trying to think of an example off the top of my head that I've personally kept. And I can't think of one. As soon as we stop, it'll come to it has to be, it's just a little bit more narrowed.
The narrowed temperature is, that's what I mean. So it's from, we'll use yours, we'll just say from 70 to 70 to 75. That is where they're best. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, things are going to be detrimental.
They'll probably be stressed. I would say a lot of fish out there, like if it's written on paper, this fish can only handle 70 to 78 degrees Fahrenheit. Ideally, that's their ideal temperature range. But if you get it to 79 degrees Fahrenheit, it's not going to, like, I guess there's always a fish out there that gets in the more specific ranges where they have to be that. It starts causing stress to them. And you don't want to stress your fish with unnecessarily. So you just want to keep them in that temperature so it's just more ideal for them. If that makes sense to you, hopefully. If it makes sense to you, I'm hoping it makes sense to the one listening. But I just, that's how I, in my head, I distinguish between an easy fish and a little bit more, like, intermediate, moderate range. It's just, like, even with pH 2, there's some fish out there that can handle, like, 6.8 to 8.0, whereas something a little bit more moderate might need to be from an even neutral, a 7.0 to a 7.4, because with the pH, it's a tenfold jump between each little bit. So even though it's just that minute detail to me on a scale, it's hugely, it impacts that aquarium a lot. So there's some fish out there that's easier that can handle that wide range, whereas something that's moderate, an intermediate fit. I always think you should test your aquarium, but that's when you should definitely start to pay that more attention to your pH. And I do think something that's a little bit on the moderate scale, that's a little bit larger, I think you should introduce them a little on last. So if you have your guppies and you want to try to, you have a 75-gallon aquarium, and you have it super planted, and let's say you wanted to try something that's a little bit, what's a fish that's a little bit more difficult than guppies that we've had off the top of your head that would go in a 75-gallon?
Angelfish.
Let's say with angelfish. I would introduce those guppies first and get them going, get them established, let them live their best life for a little while, a week or two. Then I would take my little bit more moderate difficulty fish and put them in next. And I would work up from my easy fish. I would get them first, get them going. Then I would start with my more intermediate, moderate, difficulty fish, and I put them in next is how it works when I try to build a community tank. I try to start with my easiest fish, and especially if it's my first community tank and it's my first time keeping something, start with, let's say, another something that I think is on the easier scale that can handle a wide range of things is like white cloud minnows. I really like white cloud minnows. I'd get them established, get them going, see how they're doing, get experience with that easier fish. And then if my overall goal as a fish keeper is to have a really pretty planted community tank, and I feel confident with them white clouds or whatever you choose, guppies, white clouds, it's on that easier scale that can handle that, then I would start looking, okay, in this scale of things, let's try a more moderate, a little bit more difficult fish. This is my parameters, and this is what I can keep, and this is has a little bit more specialized diet. I would go with them next and see how it goes and get to know those fish, and then kind of sit back and see where you want to go next. I just kind of start with my easier ones and work my way up is how I build my community tanks. If that, hopefully, but I work from that easier one and then I go to a little bit more harder one and then I go to something.
Well, it's the kind of the pyramid effect. Uh-huh. The broad range at the bottom as you're narrowing down that pyramid, mm-hmm. and all that time you're narrowing in on your water parameters.
Yeah. And then what would you define as what makes a fish difficult?
Makes a fish difficult. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with size is one. Aggressiveness is one. And diet is definitely one.
Yeah. I would say you keep trying. My definition of what makes something harder to keep than a moderate fish would just on the same kind of definition we're going is those parameters are even more dialed down.
Yeah.
They have to have this food at this point to live. They have to have this temperature. And the temperature is a smaller window because then if they get outside that window, they are going to be stressed. So that's when like my notebooks come in handy and I test my water, even though I always recommend testing your water, but I'm not going to lie to you. I test my harder tanks more often than my easier tanks. I just do. But I feel like that's what makes a fish easy, medium, hard.
Well, and
beginner, intermediate, expert would be the narrowing in of those parameters and the smaller they get with the more specific diet, the more specific lighting. Certain fish have to have dimmer lighting. If you have a super bright light on a fish that requires a dimly lit tank, they're going to get stressed. If your fish gets stressed long term, chances are they're going to get sick at some point. And then it's just going to go downhill. So those parameters that they need are very dialed in.
Yeah, and I agree to that. And you talking about that just sparked it, even though it's kind of a side note off of that hard, is they still call it freshwater, but a brackish tank. Mm-hmm. That bumps your parameter levels to a whole nother ball game.
Yeah. I find brackish tank. I've never gone full salt spectrum, full salt water. I haven't, but I've gone extremely heavily brackish for a couple fish. And I do find those fish species more difficult to keep because, especially during the water change times, like you have to get that specific gravity. When we had that freshwater lionfish just right, and I'd have to make sure my water was prepped a while before I put it in just to make sure it was right. And the diet was very difficult for that fish. And to me, it only took live food for a long time until it finally started taking bloodworms. But I found that fish was very difficult. I enjoyed it tremendously. I loved it. But it made it very difficult because, like you said, it was a very heavily brackish tank. And as it aged, it needed to get more and more and more. And the diet was very meaty. It needed live food. And if you don't like to feed live food, then something that usually I find difficult fish are the ones that do need to have their diet's very, it's expensive usually. And it's just, but even that, just the narrowing in the water changes, I enjoy coming down here and doing water changes and working on the tanks, but I'm not going to lie to you again. Sometimes you just need to get them done and I don't have time to sit and test the salinity of a water in a bucket when I've got kids and homework and dinner and all of that. Sometimes you just need to get down here and get the water changes done, make sure everything's, I really enjoy that time, but those parameters, and even with brackish tanks, heating them is a little, it's just, I find it difficult. And that's why it was difficult, was because of that narrowing in, that very specific things that they needed to be okay.
Well, and I think that freshwater lionfish or toadfish, as they call it, was one that, yes, and it did not require much light. It did not want light. Mm-mm. It wanted to be hidden and mm-hmm. sit. And
yeah, just waited there. If you're a member and you're watching this podcast, I hope you enjoyed that. It's just sitting there. It's little fins. It would walk on its little fins. Oh, it was so ugly. It was amazingly beautiful.
But for advanced or expert, as you're talking, or hard to keep, I think that fish for us personally definitely checked all the boxes that you just mentioned as far as light, food, water parameters, everything. Checked every one of those boxes.
Yeah. I think that's the best definition for me that I could come up with when I was thinking about this topic, was what's the difference between, you hear it all the time, oh, that's, here's a list of 15 easy fish and here's a list of 15 difficult fish or blah, blah, blah. And I was like, what makes it? I know it's not something that's like a hard hitting question, but it's like just kind of thinking about what makes it. And what I could come up with was just easy fish have that wide range. They can handle it. I don't ever recommend having a bunch of fluctuations. And like we do outside the pond, like it's a natural progression in the day, but down here, these aquariums are pretty controlled, but it's just they can have that wide range that they can come in and be okay with what you have established for you that works easy for you. Well, they can just come in and live their best life.
Well, as long as you meet that parameter in that range.
Yeah.
And you keep it at that level, they're fine.
Yeah.
That's what I was getting at, and I misspoke earlier.
Well, you know, that's my job. I've just got to, as much as you call me out, like, hey. No, but like the intermediate, the moderate, that type, it's just they do still have a good range. They still can go in a lot of different tanks. It's just not so broad. And then difficult fish, your window is pretty small. They need what they need. And that's, if you don't give them that, it's not going to end well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But then now I'm just going to sit back and let you talk. I hope you enjoyed me here for this podcast. But from here on out, it will be Jesse taking over. What is your definition of peaceful, semi-aggressive, and aggressive? We'll start with peaceful. Not easy, but peaceful.
Peaceful is any fish that can get along with other fish. And the way I think of it as any fish that could be involved in a community tank. That's the way I think of a peaceful fish. A peaceful fish is a fish that can coexist with other fish really easily, readily available, which is, I mean, usually the list is a bunch. But yeah, you can put them in a community tank and you don't have to worry about a bunch of fin nipping and all that kind of stuff. Yeah,
that's kind of how I think of it too. I do think, for the most part, I think peaceful and easy do kind of go hand in hand. I think it's when you get to the semi-aggressive and aggressive, you can totally have an aggressive fish that's easy and a semi-aggressive fish that's hard, and it kind of goes back and forth. But on this one, I think a lot of times super easy fish to keep are generally peaceful. But there's, like I said, there's always an exception to a rule somewhere. But they can come in, you can go to the fish store, you can buy one, you can buy 20, it doesn't matter. They're going to enjoy each other. They're going to enjoy the tank mates. They're just going to enjoy being in your care.
They're going to enjoy being a fish is what they're going
to
enjoy.
They're just going to be there to have a good time. And like you said, they get along with everything and everyone, including their own kind. They don't, move the substrate. They just get along with snails and shrimp and everything. I think the temperament of a peaceful fish is like you can just bring them in and you don't have to worry about, like you said, fin nipping or chasing or territorial. This is my rock and this is my rock only. And it doesn't matter if you keep them in a group of six or a group of 20 or a group of one. They're just peaceful, calm, enjoyable fish species. And I like guppies and white clouds come to mind. I really like guppies and white clouds. They're really peaceful. And you can put them in most of any type of tank.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, before we go to the very controversial topic of semi-aggressive.
I think semi-aggressive one is kind of the hardest to define.
Because there's always exceptions to the rule in that. But before we go to that, let's go to aggressive.
Well, let's go. But I want to keep it in order. I kind of do for my own. But, well, okay. If you want to talk about aggressive, we'll talk about aggressive.
We'll do semi-aggressive because there's a lot of things that go with semi-aggressive.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. I think that's the hardest one.
There's a lot of caveats that go with semi-aggressive. There's a lot of rules inside the word semi-aggressive.
Yeah, it's one of those big umbrella terms. And I think out of this whole topic, I think that's the one that confused me the most when I was thinking about this. I was like, my self-dialogue, I was like, I can kind of get the peaceful and aggressive, like you said, but what? It was the hardest one. So, yeah, what's your definition of aggressive?
Aggressive, in my mind, is a predatory type fish that can and will attack anything else.
I think you just want to talk about the arowana. So again, I'm glad you've been here, but let's...
Well, no.
It's a great fish to talk about.
In my opinion, even our Amica splendens could be considered aggressive because they will not tolerate anything else. They do tolerate themselves, but they will not tolerate another species in that tank. It has to be only them. You cannot put anything else in them there. You can't put shrimp. You can't put any other bigger fish in there. They'll still pick on it.
Yeah.
They don't care.
I think of aggressive fish, I kind of have it broken down. And you kind of explained it. I mean, you explained it well. How I have it broken down, when I see the word aggressive and fish together, I think of it as bully and like dash predatory. In my head, there's aggressive fish that have bullying behavior no matter what you put them in. But there's also a category of aggressive fish that are predatory. And the difference to in my head, now granted, some of the stuff that I don't claim to know at all, but aggressive fish that are bullies, no matter what you put them in, no matter how you give them their you can rearrange their tank, you can give them what you think territory-wise, and I do think a lot of it comes down, aggression comes down, is you do have to give them enough swimming room. But aggressive fish, if you give them that swimming room and those parameters and all this, everything that they say that they need, they're still aggressive, but in a sense of they're not necessarily always eating the other fish. It's just they're always going after the other one. Because those, in my mind, they're swimming after each other. They're bullying each other. They're aggressive, but they're not always eating. A predatory aggressive fish, in my head, sometimes is like the freshwater lionfish. It was a very aggressive fish, but it wasn't swimming after the fish to go after them.
No, we could have kept a topwater fish in there if as long as it never would have went to the bottom.
Well, even that fish too, like the way it behaved,
it would have been fine.
Was it did kind of swim around, but it swim around in the way it almost looked like it was walking, but sometimes it would be behind the filter upside down, or sometimes it would be over here in the plant. That was the time we didn't have live plants because it was so heavily brackish, but we had some like silk fake artificial plants, and it would like hang out over there, or it would be over here kind of laying on the rocks, but kind of hanging over the rocks, and it would just wait for something to swim past it, and it was quick and it would eat it up quickly. Whereas some fish, they're aggressive in the sense that they're swimming around actively, but they're always going after. No matter what you do, you cannot curve that aggressor. They just cannot be with others, and they cannot be with their own kind. They don't like the same. They don't like any. They just want to be by themselves because they're aggressive in that sense. And like, I have a common pleco, and I don't think all plecos are aggressive, but this one, I do. They're large. They require a specific diet, and if they don't get I think that they like, I don't know if it's true, but in my personal experience of keeping them, they like to go after slime coats. They like eyeballs of other fish, and they will, if they don't get what they need, they will go after that. But sometimes you can still provide them a meaty diet. You can still give them all they want, but given the opportunity, they're still going to suck that. They're going to go after the eye. They like eyeballs, it seems like. Every time I've tried to, it's gross, and I'm sorry, but they go after another fish's eye, and then they don't do well after that. And I find that aggressive, and it seems like once they get to a certain size, it's not necessarily when they're smaller and you first get them, because they always sell them when they're like itty bitty. It's when they get to like that foot plus size, they become really aggressive in my eyes. And I think there's a difference between aggressive bullying behavior and aggressive predatory and that's in the sense of, I think, just coming down to knowing the fish and knowing how they behave. Like, it's always, no matter what you, I know a lot about guppies. I love guppies. But I still research and read about guppies. There's still something to know. So if you want to keep an aggressive fish, you really got to do your homework to know that. Because some, and this kind of goes into the semi-aggressive stuff range too a little
bit.
Sometimes
you
just don't know.
Well, before you jump into that, you skipped over two other fish that are classified that we both have kept that if you look up are classified as aggressive. And they are some of the tiniest fish in the world is Beta Betta and Pea Puffers.
Well,
and they are classified as aggressive.
And that comes down to, you can read an article that says Bettas are semi-aggressive to peaceful to aggressive. And I think that's the one, that's... Every fish, again, even guppies, they each have their own.
Before we get into this controversial semi-aggressive topic, we started out with these two.
Well, there's there's a couple things. There's always something to say. It's one that it really comes down to their personality. Like I said earlier, guppies to me are generally peaceful and easy fish. But you might have that one that's a little nippy. Whereas in my experience with bettas, each one I have ever kept has been unlike the other. Some can go, I have one right now in a guppy tank, and it is A-okay, living its best life, not aggressive at the least, at all. But I have had some that they don't get along with us. I do feel like bettas are the one that is very personal, like it is fish specific. But Like, when I mean, it goes
when you
back
when
to,
you look them up on that just a regular old Google search, I always find funny. You just, I mean, immediately right underneath it, it just says fighting fish.
Yeah, and I think that it come their aggression. I think a lot of times is definite. Well, all the time, unless you have like a big aquarium that I still just don't recommend. They're very aggressive, the males towards each other, and I think that's why it's a fighting fish, because they will fight. They're very aggressive towards each other. And you can keep female sororities, but even that, not all females will get along. I feel like if they're raised together, you'll have a higher chance. But even they're very aggressive towards each other. But then you start getting into that. Well, then they become semi-aggressive if you don't keep them with another male betta and let's keep them in a community tank. Well, then they're not necessarily aggressive. They're maybe semi-aggressive, but even again, it's depending on the betta.
And that goes...
Going back to like what you said earlier, though, I have kept pea puffers. They're very aggressive.
Yep.
They're this teeny tiny.
Well, they are called pea puffers.
They are very aggressive towards others. And if they don't have... I had three. And I can't remember what size. It was a smaller tank. But they're territory. So they had to have their own spot before they got along. They had to work it out a little bit. But they did not, putting them in another tank with a guppy, they might not have eaten the guppy because they're so small, but they have, for something that little, very sharp little beaks, and they will just go at them. And if you've seen them watch us eat a snail, just think what they can do to really flowy, pretty guppy fins. But they're, again, very small. Assassin snail. It's not something you think of as an aggressive something, but assassin snails can be very aggressive towards others, especially they'll eat other snails. So,
hence the name.
Like, and that's why I was kind of thinking about this, because just because they're a small fish, pea puffers are aggressive fish. And I think sometimes... People are like, they're not the hardest. Well, that they might not be the hardest to keep. They're one of the few freshwater puffers, but they're very small and cute and adorable, and I highly recommend them. But they're very hard to keep in the sense of you have to make sure that if you have them in more than one, that they have their own spot.
Well, and everyone considers a betta easy to keep. Mm-hmm. I do not, especially if you're wanting to be in a tank with other fish.
Yeah.
That is not an easy fish to keep.
You have to play kind of ring around the tanks, because I'm lucky I have plenty of tanks and I can try that. But when I acclimate a betta, I keep an eye on it in the cup or the bag or whatever you like to, the specimen, whatever you acclimate your fish with. And if they're acting a little just stressed and just going at the side and they're flaring, I don't classify those as ones I want to try to keep in a community tank. But this one that I have behind me that we got at the last show, when I was acclimating this one, it didn't care. It was just kind of hanging out, kind of looking around. It didn't try to swim up towards the bag and try to like go after something. So again, bettas are one of those that you can read on paper. It likes to have an insect diet. It likes to have planted, heated aquariums with a really good filter, 10 gallons. But until you keep that, you don't know the personality of that. So to me, I don't find them hard to keep. I think on the easy to difficult, they're probably a little closer for me to be on the easy scale. But that's because I have the environment they need. But if you have a betta that's in a vase that's does it have a filter and you're like, they always die after 2 months and they're really hard to keep. That's probably why they're really hard to keep back then. And I didn't know what I was doing. But once you get more experience with the parameters in which they need, I don't say that they're necessarily the hardest, most difficult fish to keep, but on the aggressive side of the scale of peaceful to aggressive, it's very dependent on the individual one. Whereas my Amica Splendens, they're aggressive all the time to others, but not themselves. So they're not, and I'm not taking out each one of my Amica Splendens and saying, okay, I'm going to acclimate you one at a time and see if you go after anything, like the edge of the bag. Like, I know that they're aggressive, but I don't have to, whereas individually, each one of my bettas have been different. Some are pouty, some are cranky, some are active, some are always happy to see me, some don't care, some are like, destroy some guppy fry, where others just don't care. But when it comes to their aggression, they are always aggressive. Even if you have them in two different aquariums next to each other, I didn't think of that for a while. I had to put dividers in that because even just seeing each other, they're in separate tanks. They can't hurt each other, but they are being very stressed by trying to get after each other, just looking at each other type of thing. So,
well, and I think that kind of wraps up our aggressive fish deal.
Yeah, there's bullies and then predatory.
Well, yeah. And I think a lot of people mostly think, like I did, think monster fish and they think predatory.
Yeah.
You think big red tail catfish, you think arowanas.
And that's how I thought of it too, is I thought for a long time, all difficult fish are aggressive. All peaceful fish are easy. But that's not necessarily the case. There is some, and I think you get into more of it when you get to the intermediate and difficult and semi-aggressive and aggressive. There's more of like
a cross.
You know those lists that they have and you're like, connect the lines. I think peaceful and easy do kind of go hand in hand. But when it comes to aggressive and semi-aggressive, that's when you start getting that. Because like, pea puffers are so tiny, and assassin snails, it's just a snail, but they're aggressive and they're, you know, but go into semi-aggressive. What would you say?
Semi-aggressive in my mind is a fish that can be a community fish.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very easily can be a community fish given the right opportunity. And we have mentioned it already, and I'll hit the points of it and see if I'm right. I'm going to go with size of the tank. Planted, because everybody knows, if you listen to this, you know I love planted tanks. That's two of them. And then, I'm missing my third one.
I just think of semi-aggressive fish, like you said, they can go by themselves. They can go in a community tank. They have a wide range of things that they can go in, but you have to give them what they need.
Oh, stress. Yeah. That was the three there. It would be stress, size of the tank.
Yeah. I think that, like, how can I say this that makes sense to others and just not myself? If you don't give them what they need, they will become aggressive because they're stressing in some way. And that,
well, there's us as people, if we're stressed out, you get moody and aggressive. You do it to me all the time.
So, and hopefully this makes sense. But like, if you don't give them what you need and you don't give them, And this is why it's so, it kind of confused me, because there's so many things and there's so many fish that's classified as semi-aggressive, but you have to provide them with what they need to make them happy and not stressed, and they won't be aggressive. But if they don't get something that they're needing, then they're going to lash out like my kiddo. You know, they're going to become aggressive. They're not going to be happy. So you can put them in community tanks. You can have them in species only tanks. You can have them in whichever tank you want them to go in. If you just give them whatever it is they need, whether they need a territory or they need a school or they need to be in a small group. They need to have tons of swimming room. They need to have low light, or they need to have, there's something about them that they need to be peaceful. And if they don't get that, then they're going to be fin nippers or something like that. There's just, and it confused me for a long time, because I was like, what is it? Like, what is it that makes them semi-aggressive? And it's really, they're peaceful until they don't have what they need.
Yeah.
And then they're going, see, that's the reason with semi, it's, again, I'm a broken record. Research your fish that you keep. It's always important. But semi-aggressive fish, I think, is ones that you really got to pay attention to, that because you need to know whatever it is that they need, so you can give them the environment that they're just, then they're more chill. They're not fin nipping the others, or, you know, doing whatever it is that makes them aggressive.
Well, I mean, a good example would be your father's tank that you set up. That would be a good example.
Of what not to do. Somehow it works, but I don't know why.
No, it does work. They do have the room, but what was cool about it was you planted it heavily. They did have appropriate spots to territorialize off, and it was angelfish with neon tetra. Mm-hmm. And how
angelfish were small when he had those tetra. You don't have those tetra no more. Those angelfish are a lot bigger.
Yes, but how for that long of time that was able to be, and it was a really cool looking tank. I mean, it broke every rule that everyone you go against. Like, you can't do that. Mm-hmm. It was done, and everybody was fine.
Well, I'm thinking more like angelfish. Let's say, I don't know, that's the one semi-aggressive fish I've kept the most, so I'll probably go to them a lot. But, like, how can I say? Some fish need a lot of swimming room. Some fish in this range need a certain, my grommy. I had a grommy a long time, it's been a while ago, and I noticed that grommy liked to have a certain rock, and it liked to hang out with that rock, and anytime came around his rock, he wouldn't fin nip him, but he would definitely shoo the others away. I don't want you around me. He wouldn't necessarily nip fins. He wouldn't cause any damage, but that grommy really liked, he was very territorial about that rock. And then, like I said earlier, some fish get more aggressive with age. So why you got them at the fish store when they were 2 inches, whatever it is, and they got along with everyone then, but all of a sudden that fish became 6 inches and ate everybody else. You know, as it got older, they become more aggressive. So they're like semi-aggressive fish, because half their life they're peaceful and half their life they're aggressive. So that makes them semi-aggressive.
Well, that's because then
and
the
you're
other
like, what
fish,
does that even mean?
Well, so because then the other fish in the tank would fit in its mouth.
Yeah. And I know, like, I've been reading a lot of different books lately, and it seems like a lot of fish need a number of them. So they're going to be aggressive if you buy one.
Well, angels,
but if you buy six, then they're going to be okay. And that's a lot, like tetra and angels. And it seems like not a lot of the tetra we keep, the ones I personally have experience with, they are on the more peaceful side. But there are tetra out there that are a little that are more nippy than the ones that I've kept. But sometimes that goes down if you get, because they're more schooling. And then on the cichlid side of things, I don't have tons of experience, but I know there's a pecking order to things. So you're going to have your dominant male that's going to be super aggressive to the lower, the bottom. And sometimes you have to rearrange the tank so they don't, to kind of stir things up, to kind of be like, hey, now, like, every so often you've got to rearrange things so it kind of breaks things up. There's just, and it's hard to just say all semi-aggressive fish need this and this, this, and that's what makes them, or if you don't give them this, this, and this, that makes them semi-aggressive. But it really becomes down to more of the species. Like, we had tiger barbs. They didn't mess with anything else, but they destroyed themselves. They did not. And I think the problem with that is we didn't have enough. It's one of those circumstances that it needed a larger, that group, it needed a few more. Group. And like with the angelfish can be difficult and semi-aggressive sometimes, but I've given them more, a larger tank. Ours that we keep here, Dad's, he's getting, I hope he doesn't listen, that he's getting something for Christmas for his, but we keep them in a 75-gallon, and those are ones that it seems like they do, you kind of got to buy them in groups of like six if you're going to keep them in a group, because they're going to pair off. And if you have a pair that pairs off and then becomes territorial because they have wigglers, they're going to go after and nip the other ones. Or if you have three, then they're going to pair off and then they're just going to pick on that odd one out. So you have to kind of play with the group of them or just get like one, because you don't want them to pair off and pick on the others. And like the, going back to the Amica splendens, they do great in a species-only tank because they get along well, even with their fry. They don't eat their fry, but they will go after and nip anything else that goes in there. So it's just, it comes down to...
They pick on the snails in the tank.
Yeah, they do, but they don't pick on their babies. But it's just, when it comes to semi-aggressive fish, it really, I think... What got me so tripped up for so long is I was looking for one thing that made them aggressive, or what made them semi-aggressive. And it really, I think the best thing I could come up with is whatever species it is, it's going to have something that it needs, whether it's a really big tank or a group. Or you got to make sure that they're set up with something that they can claim as theirs because they're territorial. Or if it's a fish that you got when it was smaller, then you know, okay, this is going to be good for right now. But as it grows, what it needs is different. Or if you're not meeting their diet, and then they're going to go after. If they're a meat-loving pro, they need something meaty, or... like bettas, they like to have insect larvae in their diet. And if you're not meeting that requirement in their diet, they're going to be more apt to go after and eat and attack something else if need be, because they're craving that. If you're just feeding them fish flakes or something, it really comes down to specifically what type of fish that is. So you know, okay, if I get them too hot or too cold, that can trigger aggression. If the group's not big enough, it can trigger aggression. If I have too many of them, it can cause aggression towards each other. Or if I don't meet this, then it can cause them, let's say, it's
the tank's not big enough. I mean, yeah, there's lots of things.
You're keeping them with something that has really flowy fins, and they're fin nippers.
Yeah.
Like, they might not be the most aggressive fish, but putting them with an incompatible tank mate. And I think that's when knowing, okay, it's aggressive or a semi-aggressive fish, and then knowing if it's a peaceful, medium, or like all of that kind of ties together, and is really important to know if your goal is keeping a community tank. you know, it kind of goes hand in hand. And I think that, and again, with my moderate fish, if I have a semi-aggressive fish that I'm wanting to keep, I put them, the more aggressive the fish, I do put them in last. I start with my more peaceful or my more ease, and then I build up my community tank that way. But making sure, you know, if I have a peaceful fish, you need to know if you're going to put something semi-aggressive into there. If you know what they need so you can meet that, you're going to set yourself up better for the future. So you're like, okay, if I don't have this and this and this, it could be aggressive. So I need to have this, this, and this.
Yeah. And because, I mean, there's a lot of what they consider semi-aggressive fish that all they really need is just a spot to hide out.
Yeah.
That's it. They just need a spot to hide out.
And I think that's how that Grommy was. I really liked, and like, I feel I haven't kept a lot of Grommies. I've kept a few. And I know there are some, seems like, what is it? Is it a giant gold Grommy? The giant Grommy that's more aggressive than the, I kept the smaller neon dwarf Grommy. But it really liked having that spot and that place to kind of hide out. And I did come out and swim plenty, but it would go back. It would go back to its spot. And I just think if you know that going in, hey, this is a territorial fish. So if you give it the right territory to claim as it, then it's going to be more peaceful.
Well, and you've had aggressive sword tails. I mean,
well, yeah, they were just, and there's a difference between like, I don't know, like, how do I say, it wasn't, with that Grommy, it wasn't that it was fin, like, it was nipping their skate, like, their fins, but it would kind of, how can I describe this so you guys can visualize it? Like, it's under its rock, and the tetras and white clouds and guppy would, it would just kind of be like, hey, shoo, go, and then it would swim back to its little rock. Like, it wasn't nipping, but it was shooing, like, hey, go away.
Well, it was his or her spot at the bus stop. Uh-huh. This is where I stand at the bus stop. This makes me happy. This is my spot. You guys go find a different spot.
Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to think. There's a lot that goes in to semi-aggressive that it really is just species dependent. Like I said, whether if you gotta, if it's a schooling fish, you need to provide it enough tank mates. If it needs a group. Like, I'm trying to think back of all the different fish to use as examples, but well, I always go blank. But it's like, if it needs a territory, or if it needs hard water or soft water, whatever it is, if it says, if you go in and you're like, hey, this is a semi-aggressive fish. Well, there's not, like, what is it about that fish that it needs so you can provide that so it won't be semi-aggressive anymore? It'll be able to be okay.
Well, and I think that's the big disconnect, especially with like the box stores and stuff. They just put easy, moderate, advanced. Mm-hmm. Well, they just kind of throw all the semi-aggressive in moderate because they're like, oh, well.
And maybe that's why
That's why I think, to me, it's a very kind of controversial, a good aquarium dilemma talk, is because if you go to a box store, that's how they categorize things.
And yeah, and I think there is a difference between peaceful, semi-aggressive, and aggressive, and easy, medium, and hard. There, you can have a super peaceful fish that's hard, and a super aggressive fish that's easy. And we'll say this every episode, it really depends on your fish and you really have to do your research. But when it comes to semi-aggressive fish, there's things that you can provide them to curb that aggression, whether it's making sure that dominant one isn't always dominant and you're rearranging that tank, or I don't, like, you provide it some, you just provide it what it needs so that aggression is curved, whereas aggressive fish, no matter what you do, it's always going to bully. It's always going to be a predator. It's always going to have that predatory instinct to eat that, that tank mate, no matter if you gave it a rock to hide under. Whereas a semi-aggressive fish, there's ways that you're able to, when you get to know that fish species, that you can curve that a little bit, whether it's adding more of that kind or adding less of that kind or providing it the diet it needs or the maybe the lighting needs to be dulled down because it's your light's too bright and that's stressing it out, or you're leaving your light on all the time and it never has that rest period and so it's making it aggressive. Like there's something you can do when it comes to semi-aggressive fish usually that you can combat that aggression. Whereas aggressive fish, there's it's in their nature. That silver arowana is going to, no matter what we do, going to be aggressive to fellow tank mates that are smaller than he. Now, if we had some giant arapaima and our house is silver arowana might not be the most aggressive in the tank anymore. Yeah. But
or even big Oscar. They make some monster Oscars. Their Oscars can get huge.
I guess what I'm trying, what am I even trying to say at this point is, again, aggressive fish are always aggressive. There's not a whole lot you can do to, they're probably going to eat their tank mates. You have to pay very close attention to what I
they're
can't
either going
to
eat their tank mates or they're going to pick on their tank mates until they kill them.
Until something happens.
They're going to fight until it's over.
Semi-aggressive fish, there's something you can do to provide them with what they need to curve that so you can put them in. We have angelfish in with tank mates, and we have what they need, and it's a very peaceful, beautiful. I really enjoy that tank. But with them, like I said, you might have to do your research because they do buddy off and sometimes pick on that odd one out if they bond and there's babies in the tank or wigglers. And even without bait, sometimes they can pair up and they're just always picking on the other. But so there's ways that you can combat that, whereas peaceful fish, it doesn't matter, but they're just always peaceful. And with aggressive, it's not always the large ones. Like we said, pea puffers and assassin snails are aggressive. They're not a 3-foot fish that is in like a 500 gallon tank that is obviously like that's a predatory fish. So
it's not always size dependent. The Amica splendens, easy to keep. Super easy to keep, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. However, very aggressive, species only. You mm-hmm. cannot put anything else in there. You put it in there, it mm-hmm. doesn't matter if it's bigger than them. They will pick at it and pick on it because they're just mm-hmm. aggressive.
Yeah. And then when it comes down to easy, medium, difficult, beginner, intermediate, expert, it really, to me, that definition comes down to how broad their tank parameters can be to be okay in that aquarium. So, like we said earlier, an easier fish has a wide range. A very difficult fish has a very specific range and diet. And I think that a lot of it kind of, like I said earlier, a peaceful fish is generally easy to keep, but not always. There's you can't go into every aggressive fish is super hard to keep. And I think sometimes aggressive fish are hard to keep in just the sense that they have a very expensive diet and they need a very large tank. But given that, then they generally are not the hardest to keep. Whereas those freaking bumblebee gobies I've had freshwater ones and brackish ones were really difficult to keep because of the tank parameters, that they were just very difficult for me. And I know even that, like, just because I can keep guppies easily doesn't mean someone, like you said earlier, that has softer water, they might be very difficult to keep. So,
well, I know for us, just
it's kind of
speaking personally, mm-hmm. I know for us, we would love to have them, but it's not something that mm-hmm. we can do, as we both enjoy watching and looking. We love discus. Mm-hmm. But that is a soft water fish that yeah. we cannot handle.
Well, and I know that even now I have some friends that I've talked to that they have hard water. So and they have discus just fine. So it might be more in our future than we ever thought. But it really just comes down to, again, just research your fish. Don't impulse buy, even though I do. And do your research. And when it comes down to easy, medium, and hard, and aggressive, semi-aggressive, and peaceful. It's not always just, like we said 100 times, it's not always every peaceful fish is easy to keep, and not every aggressive fish is hard to keep. So, and when it comes to those semi-aggressive fish, just see what that little thing they need is. So then you don't have a problem with aggression anymore. Whether it's a schooling fish or they need a specialized hardy diet, whatever, or they need a territory or whatever it is, just figure out what that is, and then you can meet that, and then you don't have a problems, and it really does set yourself up a little bit better for the future, especially with community tanks, if you just know whatever it is that they need.
Oh, yeah. Well, in my opinion, if you're going to do a community tank, you're probably thinking about starting out with a larger, I won't say huge, a larger footprint
yeah.
of a tank.
I hope this helped you in some fashion. And I really appreciate you. If you have listened to the end of this podcast, I give you a round of applause. Thank you for being here with us.
Well, thank you so much for tuning in.
And I hope that this was an interesting topic.
Yep. Well, and if you like, check out any of the fish that we keep.
Yeah.
Check out scienceguyaquatics.com. There's care lists for all these fish, mm-hmm. whether they be easy, moderate, advanced, peaceful, yeah. semi-aggressive, mm-hmm. aggressive. Yeah. There's care lists for all of them and the parameters that they are kept at.
Yeah. I hope this has given you something to talk about with others or something to think about. Just, it's not a topic that I've put a lot of thought into in the past, but I feel like it's something that it's worth talking about. I don't normally talk about my friends like, what's the definition of your peaceful fish? Or how do you define an aggressive fish? I feel like it's one of those things that we're like, of course I know what the definition of a peaceful fish is. It's peaceful. But sometimes it's just, even though it's not the most hard-hitting, controversial dilemma out there when it comes to fish tanks, I do feel like
it's
something worth talking about. And I really hope that you can talk about this with your fish friend that you have, or something that it's just worth mentioning and going over. It's always worth going over the basics. And I hope that this topic hasn't been boring and it's been something that you're like, oh, yeah, I've thought about that, but I haven't given it that much thought. Yeah, that's true. Okay.
Well, I think it's a controversial topic because you go to a big box store, they tell you one thing. Uh-huh. You go to your local fish store, either stuff's labeled or it's not. And they tell you something different. So I do think there's kind of a disconnect there between the easy and the moderate, the advanced, and the
mm-hmm. yeah
of how what you can do of peaceful and aggressive and mm-hmm. semi-aggressive. Yeah. I think there's a wide range there, and they just kind of lump both those categories together to make it easier on themselves.
Yeah. Well, hopefully you've enjoyed this topic like we have. And if you are watching this podcast over at Science Gal Aquatics on YouTube under the memberships, I highly appreciate it. And I really appreciate you just being here and listening to us. And hopefully we will see you again very soon in the next episode. So thank you again. And again, go check out Science Gal Aquatics over on YouTube and sciencegalaquatics.com. But thank you. Until next time.
Bye.
Bye.